And we welcome you to another broadcast at Catholic Broadcasting Northwest in the Portland, Salem, Vancouver, Eugene, and Springfield areas locally. And you might be listening online today, maybe heading down south to San Francisco. We welcome you at KBVM.FM, our East Coast listeners, those who are listening internationally. Great to have you joining us. This is the hour in our broadcast where we go throughout the whole country and literally around the globe to continue to share our message of the gospel, to share a message of hope, and really to hear the other stories and really to share hand in hand, arm in arm, the communion of saints. How are we living out our lives each and every day? How are we making an impact in the culture for life? We begin with prayer each and every day as we move through our particular vocation. And so we are going to have a real power-packed hour today to share about the life issues and how the West Coast is continuing to come alive, bringing about a culture of life. I want to start with these words that are inspired by the Book of Wisdom that are heard throughout the Catholic churches today. The Lord granted him a stern struggle that he might know that wisdom is mightier than all else. And we might be talking today about a stern struggle in the culture of death versus the culture of life as we recognize the 40th year of Roe versus Wade in our country, legalizing abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. And what we are doing as a people of faith, as a people of the communities who are working to protect the dignity of all human life, especially those who have no voice. And this effort that we're going to talk about today is really a work of prayer, a work of the heart, and it has become an annual event to really come together and to put to the public sense a voice for life. I'm going to be talking with Dolores Meehan. She's a co-founder of the West Coast Walk for Life West Coast, down south in San Francisco, California. Group of people got together and said, we need to do something to continue to mark that we believe in life. And we're going to take that to the streets. And they've done that now since 2005. And we're excited to share a little bit about their story. Taking our broadcast to the San Francisco area, we're going to greet Dolores this morning. Dolores, thanks for joining us today and sharing with us the excitement that's happening with the Walk for Life West Coast.
Oh, well, thank you. It's great to be on your show.
So many exciting things to share about. We're going to be carrying coverage of your event, also the event in Washington, D.C., thanks to our partnership with EWTN. So for folks who may not be able to actually travel to these events, We know that we're going to join you in prayer and to celebrate the gift of life. Take us back a little bit. Love to hear a little bit about where you came from, how you were really introduced to the idea of the culture of life, and what really has touched your heart through your own formation of knowing about the life issues and now taking it as part of your own, you know, mission in life.
Well, you know, I think that you know, everybody has their own story. Mm-hmm. I don't remember ever not being pro-life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't remember it really being talked about, but when it became when it came about, you know, a couple friends, you know, at different ages, you know, when I was in my teens, late teens, becoming pregnant and having an abortion and trying to talk them out of it. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know all the ways to do that, but I just, you know, the instinct was, no, don't do this. You know, we can figure it out. And seeing them go ahead anyway. And then subsequent to that, just being with them through the pain of that choice that they've made, and their and just seeing that there just had to be another way. But probably, I mean, I think that it's in my genes. My maternal grandmother was left on a doorstep in 1903 in San Francisco. And so my maternal great-grandma, her birth mother, was in some sort of crisis, right? You don't just leave your child on a doorstep. And so I just think there's, in everybody's history, there's somebody that made, you can probably find somebody that made a really difficult choice to whom you owe your life. Mm-hmm. And in my case, I have two. I have my my paternal grandma was pregnant with my father, and she elected to not seek treatment for breast cancer and then died when he was 13 months old. Mm-hmm. But he, you know, obviously he lived and went on to have his life, and not an easy life. Mm-hmm. All the children were, they were living in a tenement in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and were really left to their own devices for very small children. But at the end of it, it came out right. Here we are, two generations later, and I'm really glad I'm here, and very thankful to my grandma that she sacrificed not just her life, but she sacrificed, she handed over to the Lord the care of her children, knowing she probably would die. And so I think that those circumstances, those stories really have probably emboldened me, and without me even knowing it. Mm-hmm. It just sort of came through on my genes. And then just in San Francisco, I'm a native San Franciscan, and to see so much pain from abortion, with such a high abortion rate in San Francisco, and just realizing that we needed to do something, that this is nuts. We can't just sit around and, only attend, fundraising dinners, mm-hmm. which are good things to do too. Yeah. Really essential and good. But we thought, well, let's do something more. And we have just an outstanding crew of people that pitch in, that do not just pitch in, but bring their extraordinary talents and generosity of their time to make the Walk for Life happen. It's a complete volunteer organization. We have the people that we work with that we know of, but then you also have out in Oregon and Washington and Sacramento and Los Angeles and all over, you have people that work really hard to get their groups here. And so it's such a collaborative effort, and it is always such a great moment looking out on the stage and looking at all the people mm-hmm. that come. It just fills your whole heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Dolores Meehan with us, the co-founder of the Walk for Life West Coast, and they have an amazing website. I've been perusing it, and there's so much information there and just some great things to check out. WalkForLifeWC.com is the website. I've also got it posted on our homepage of our website, so people, when they go to our website, they'll be able to find that great logo that you have with the image of the Golden Gate Bridge, and yes. You can check that out and really find more information. And I've heard, as I mentioned to you, Dolores, off the air, more and more people that I hear of who live in our local listening area make the trip down south. They may not be able to head all the way over to D.C., but this makes it a little bit more of a trip that they can make over the weekend and to head down and join your community at San Francisco. Share a little bit, Dolores, about just how your faith, how the power of prayer, the sacramental life has contributed to your work now in really bringing about a culture of life. How has that helped you in really bringing about this culture of life in San Francisco?
Oh, I don't know. Let me think about that one. I think that you can't do... I know very early on in our work, Eva Montaigne, who's the assistant to the marketing director at Ignatius Press, is the one that keeps all the wheels turning. And, we realized very early on, and all of our... Really, just a group of friends, we just said, hey, let's do something. Mm-hmm. And, I was... just tell people, well, I have amazing friends.
Yes, that's right.
Some people have a hard time, getting people to a Tupperware party, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. our friends, come to Walk for Life meetings.
Right.
And spend all this time and angst, putting this event on. But the only way you can really proceed in something like, I think in anything in life, mm-hmm. but definitely in any type of apostolate, like pro-life work or, whatever it may be, is you have to root it in prayer. And of course, as Catholics, we have the extra, power of a sacramental mm-hmm. life. So I would say that the sacramental life is what fuels me. And keeps me from, it's really common, the sort of circular firing squad in the pro-life movement. Mm-hmm. And the only way to, very early on, I thought one of our priests here, who's just I think, a saint. And he, not yet, maybe. We don't want him to be saint yet. I'll keep him around a bit. But he suggested I get The Soul of the Apostolate, which is Chatard's book. And I don't know if you're familiar with it. I'm sure some of your listeners are. But it was written in the turn of the century, at the 20th century, about to address the prayer needs of people who were involved in something called Catholic Action. And so it really goes, it speaks of the heresy of good works, which, you know, you can save the whole world and lose your soul. Mm-hmm. And so what have you really gained? And I think that we really work hard to feed our souls so that we can go out and do this. And I mean, I don't get to Mass every single day because of just sometimes scheduling, but but really, you know, it's a goal to go to daily Mass. And we started from the beginning that the my parish, Saints Peter and Paul in San Francisco, it's going to be hosting over 200 kids from TAC every year. They're so awesome. It's a Salesian parish, and they just open the whole place up, and kids, awesome. You know, are sleeping in the kindergarten room, and great. You know, everywhere. But we have all night adoration, and so I just that's what calms us down. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it happen. And so even though, you know, we get caught up in the busyness of it, It's we always try and take some time to just sit with our Lord before the event. And of course, we have a Mass. From the beginning, we've always had a Mass celebrated by our Archbishop, who now we are so excited, Archbishop Corleone, and the Papal Nuncio is coming to the Walk for Life. So we have a Mass at 9:30, and now, you know, you can't swing a cat without hitting a bishop. It's great. We have all
right.
You know, so many bishops come, and it's really wonderful for them because I think they get to enjoy the joy and the joy of seeing all of their flock, and they get to be there, and they get a lot of positive, you know, feedback for, you know, they just get a, it's, they really love it. You know, we have different personalities, and our own former Archbishop, unfortunately, won't be able to come, but he just delights in it. You know, it's so cute to watch him, you know, sitting on the side of the stage, and when Reverend Childress is just going at
fired
it.
Fired up.
Fired up, and I looked over at Archbishop Niederauer, and he was just, he had his legs crossed, and he just had this, he was just laughing, and he was tapping his knee with his hand, you know, smacking his knee going, oh, you know, I mean, it came so because he doesn't have that personality, but he really appreciated it, you know, in Reverend Childress. So, it's definitely a, you know, we've had different, you know, criticism from one group was they're a group of atheists, and they said, you know, they feel very, you know, marginal, you know, left out. And I said, well, you're welcome to outnumber us with Atheists for Life.
Yeah.
Bring it on, but we're not going to ask people to be less, you know, you know, do more than them.
Yeah.
You know, you shine.
That's right. That's right.
So, because they said, oh, all the religious imagery. And I said, oh, well, you know what? This is what inspires people. You know, it's not our place to temper, you know, what fuels people. And I think it's great.
Yeah.
So it's, that's probably a longer answer. But definitely the sacraments play a huge part. And we are, you know, the majority of participants are Catholic, but we're always trying to, but not completely. You know, we have lots of, we do have, you know, other groups, and but San Francisco and California is really, it's a Catholic state. San Francisco is very much a Catholic working class, you know, it was originated. We have 90 parishes in a 7-square-mile radius. So it's, you know, it's, that's kind of you know, that's kind of who you got. If you were in the South, it would be more evangelical, you know.
But so true. So true. I'm going to encourage people to visit your website, walkforlifewc.com. Get a lot of information about the event, the speakers, and if you're going to be traveling down south to San Francisco, you can get some detailed information. Dolores, when was kind of the first time you started to be aware of the March for Life, Washington, D.C.? Have you been involved in the march heading out to D.C.? Oh, just your connection with that.
Right. That's a great question. We Eva and I both went, just happened to be in 2000 we went to the March for Life, and it was really, we were like, wow, look at all these, you know, this is massive.
Right.
And it's freezing cold.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was, living in San Francisco, but you probably have the same, you know, a similar experience in Portland and in Seattle and places like that, where you just really, you forget that there's,
yeah,
a whole other culture out there that's not so radical, that's not so hostile to Christianity and to the Christian message. And so it was really great, you know, it was like it was amazing to see all these people. And so in 2004, I went with a friend. We went up to Sacramento, to our state capital, to the Roe v. Wade commemoration. And you know, there was the students for, you know, Life Teen was there, and they were really fired up. It was a small group, and, you know, it just seemed like that, you know, people were working so hard to make this happen, but not enough. And we thought, you know, let's see if, what, you know, next year, January 22nd falls on a Saturday. Why don't we try and do something in San Francisco? Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, on a Saturday, that'll be, you know, easier for people. And so, we said, all right, let's give it a shot. And,
yeah.
And so there we have it. In that first year, boy, we had no idea what we were starting, and with the hostilities, and you know, it was a crazy, crazy year with Planned Parenthood and NARAL officially, you know, front and center with our mayor, Gavin Newsom, and who's our lieutenant governor. Now, inciting people to violence, and they came along. It was just, it was crazy. And yet, our participants were all completely peaceful, didn't engage. And the cops were so astounded. The media was so astounded at the, you speak about the spiritual element. I mean, it was so diabolical. And it's never had that same diabolical element again, and I contend that it's because Planned Parenthood has never been the force behind the counter demonstration since.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring an element that's just evil.
Mm-hmm.
And not speaking to individuals so much, but just as an organization, as their force, you know, they're fueled by the you know, they're killing
the culture.
They kill
of death.
Babies,
the
you know.
Culture
so
of
it's
death.
Not.
Yeah.
It doesn't. You don't need to really look any further than that. But so. But the police were. Everybody was so impressed at how peaceful our people were, and that really, and that we had about 7,000 people, and then the next year we had 15,000.
Wow!
So everyone said, wow, we're coming back.
Yeah, and we're bringing people with us this time.
And we're bringing friends.
Yeah, that's right.
So.
And it's grown ever since.
And it's grown ever since, yeah.
Amazing, amazing. The mission, and I'm just reading this from one of the news releases that you shared with us, is to change the perceptions of a society that thinks abortion is an answer. Participants are expected to be coming from all over the Bay Area, United States, and Canada. Again, it's that opportunity to change hearts and minds. We talk about that when I talk with my folks at Oregon Right to Life. It's really about that educational component. We have to change both the heart and the mind through the power of prayer, peacefulness, but also that accurate information to really help people understand the awesomeness of all human life, from its very moment of conception, there is a plan and a purpose that's so powerful. And that's what we want to get across with these types of events. Dolores, I want to take a quick break, come back with you, sure, and have you share about really the growth of this event since 2005, some of the speakers that you have coming. You mentioned the Papal Nuncio, which means in very spirit, our Holy Father Pope Benedict will be, yes, with you in a special way, which is so exciting. And so we're going to hear some of that. Again, I'm going to encourage people, those of you who can make it to San Francisco, do make an effort to get down there. I know many of you are going to be going. Our priests, our seminarians, our deacons are heading, mm-hmm, down there. Again, the website is walkforlifewc.com. Dolores Meehan, one of the organizers of this event, we're going to talk more about it in the next few moments. And as she mentioned, Life Teen, you know, music and just sharing that that time together, it really makes a difference. I'm going to share with you one of our favorite musicians from spiritandsong.com. He's been at a few of those World Youth Days. Steve Angrisano reminds us that we have an opportunity, we have a responsibility to go and make a difference. Make a difference for life. I'm Dina Marie, your host on In Person. This is Catholic Broadcasting Northwest.
Difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go in the world. We are the salt of the earth, called to let the people see the love of God in you and me. We are the light of the world, not to be hidden but be seen. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. As we go, go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference.
I like to think of that as our theme song here at Catholic Broadcasting Northwest, making a difference in the culture for life. We have with us by phone down in San Francisco, Dolores Meehan, one of the co-founders of the awesome, awesome, now in its ninth year, Walk for Life West Coast in San Francisco, to bring people together during this time. And this is a pretty remarkable year, Dolores, as we look at the 40th year. We look at the efforts of something like the 40 Days for Life campaign, looking at that number biblically, 40, whether it's 40 days or 40 years. There is some significance in our Christian tradition about the number 40 and 40 years that our country has had, mm-hmm, legalized abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy throughout the whole country. Dolores, share a little bit about, as you and the whole team, again, of volunteers, and I love to see this, men and women coming together, bringing all of their skills, their passion, their love for life, their faith, with this event, putting it together, as you look forward to 2013 and said, okay, here we go, our ninth year, maybe just give us a little bit of the behind the scenes of you praying about this event, putting it together, looking at, wow, you guys, we're looking at 40 years, you know, the power of prayer in organizing this event for this significant anniversary year.
Right. Well, I mean, yesterday just felt like such a, didn't it feel like just a day of extreme mourning?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I was looking on things on the internet, and I think with the re-election of, you know, President Obama, that just that feeling of, wow, mm-hmm. you know, where's the hope? And
mm-hmm.
I mean, I know we always have hope, but, you know, and this isn't as bad as it gets, but it's pretty bad, you know, when you think that there's the Holocaust of 55 million children,
mm-hmm.
All completely innocent, and you know, at the in violation of the most sacred relationship of between a mother and a child, in supposedly the safest place,
mm-hmm.
The womb. And so it's so sad on so many levels. It's sad the loss of life. It's sad the loss of the loss of everything that a woman and a man who go through, you know, who have an abortion, who decide to have an abortion, or who have an abortion imposed on them, you know, whatever the circumstances that lead a person to have an abortion, that, you know, just everything that's taken from them because of that choice, and how they, you know, what they need to do to overcome it, and just the toll, and all of the, really, we have millions of people who are, you know, we have a, it's like after a war,
mm-hmm.
You know, we have our returning veterans, but we also have a culture, you know, 40 years of legalized abortion, who are walking around with this PTSD from that, and how that's impacting our culture. So it's too big it's just too big to tackle, to look at it. And it's only, we can only do it, I think, I mean, you have to break it down into parts. And Mother Teresa always said, you know, the only person that's for you right now is the person in front of you. And I think that's what, with Walk for Life, it was, well, we can do this here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, everybody on our, you know, everybody on our team, our group, and really across all the people who we don't know necessarily who are working on this, you know, for sure, we're all fueled by prayer and a desire to do what God wants us to do. So it's, I know that, you know, Eva, who really is the pivotal, she just keeps all the wheels, all the gears going.
Yeah.
And she's at Ignatius Press, and we founded it together. We're the co-founders, and she, you know, every year she's like, oh, you know.
Here we go.
I just want this to be over. And yet, you know, and so I think, gosh, you know, sometimes you think, wouldn't it be okay to just have it just skip a year, you know? And then you get on stage and you look out and you go, we could never, how could we ever do that? You know, we can't skip. And so, and I know, you know, it's really, you're really buoyed by everybody that's there. And like I was saying, you know, before we were on the air, it's so humbling that people come from so far. And it's hard to explain. It's great. One of the most gratifying, experiences for me is, if you know, when people said, oh, you're from San Francisco, have you ever gone to the Walk for Life? And I go, oh yeah,
yeah, I know about that.
I know about that. I go every year. But you know, it's just, it's great that they know about it, and it's something that people think about now when you say you're from San Francisco.
Yeah.
Instead of, oh, you guys have all that, yeah, you
problems
know, all that,
over
the- you know, you're the belly of the beast, and yuck, 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 yuck. And we're like, no, hey, we are, but there is no better place. There are no people I would rather stand shoulder to shoulder with in this, you know, in this
in this, well, I guess we're in, you know, is it the church militant? You know,
mm-hmm,
I mean,
mm-hmm. In our battle,
we're
yeah.
called. Yeah. And it's, there's just, there was no place I'd rather be. And there's no people I'd rather be with than my friends with the, we have San Francisco, we have the, you know, Western Dominican province. I know you guys mm-hmm. have,
yep.
my good friend, Father Stephen Maria, just became prior of Holy Rosary Church.
Yes,
up in Portland. So
it's in our backyard.
We're gifting him to you.
Thank you.
As
thank
if we
you,
had
Dolores.
Any choice.
I know.
But, yeah. you know, we have the their House of Studies is here, so it's awesome, you know, on the, they're all out in their kappas
yes.
and you know, their habits and their kappas and the black and white, and you just see this big long, you know, group of Dominicans and like you said, the seminarians
mm-hmm.
and the seminarians come from Denver.
Mm-hmm.
20 seminarians have come, a large group have come each year, and so next year Archbishop Aquila will be coming. We asked him if he could come this year, and he said he couldn't. But so he's going to come next year because we often asked Archbishop Chaput, who was never able to make it, but we're like, your seminarians are here.
Yeah, right.
Don't you want to come too? So it's but it's definitely it's fueled by and you know something else. I'm sorry I didn't finish that thought, but is that a lot of us are. You know, a lot of our friends, you know, have children and we look and we say, you know, they can't, their focus needs to be on raising their children. I mean, no matter how wonderful a cause is, you can't neglect your primary responsibility of your own, you know, your marriage and your children to pursue it. But we do say, but come,
yes,
we just need you guys to
family.
Come. We know it's a, you know, we know that's a big enough, you know, that takes a lot to load them up to come, and it might be cold, it might be rainy, they
mm-hmm.
might be, you know, windy, but please make that effort because we'll, you know, we're willing to, you know, we want you to stay home with your family for most of the time, and that's why we're investing our
yeah.
time and trying to live a generous single life to bring about these types of events, but then when it's showtime, you know,
mm-hmm.
we need everyone to show up. So that's that seems to be the spirit of, you know, all of our friends. And, you know, I mean, you know, a lot of us, you know, are, you know, married and stuff, but it's different. You know, it's a, but we, so then we get some new younger single
yes.
people.
Yeah.
You know, we pull from the bottom up, but it's,
you bet.
I think that's the model of that the church militant should have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that
yeah.
you that those who can do.
Yeah. And you give those talents and your skills. Let's share about the lineup because you have such an amazing lineup of speakers. Of course, we'll just kind of take us through. And
okay.
Because they're all going to be covering different areas of the life issues. You mentioned a heavy focus on healing, that kind of reconciliation and healing after abortion. That's going to be really evident in some of your speakers as well.
Right. And each year, Silent No More Awareness, Georgette Forney has been with us from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we have this umbilical attachment
right.
to Georgette
yes.
and to Reverend Childress, you
mm-hmm.
know. And so so we always have, there's a Silent No More Awareness campaign. Jennifer O'Neill has on her own initiative is coming up, and she's going to be, you know, helping Georgette and leading that, and we'll be speaking, and that starts at 10:45 in the morning and will go to 12 noon. And it's the, you know, people giving their individual testimonies. That's off on a side stage. It tends to be a more intimate affair. And then on the main stage, we start at 12:30, and our speaker lineup is different. We always have at least one person give an abortion testimony
mm-hmm.
because we feel that's essential. That's
yeah.
part of our mission statement is that abortion hurts women and men and,
mm-hmm.
and families and reaching out. And this time, we've had a married couple before, the Walkers. They were wonderful. And this time it's Kelly Klinger and her husband, and she'll be speaking about her abortion and just kind of she lived a pretty wild life. And then when she came to she came to Christ and has since done wonderful things. But she's a spokesperson for the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, mm-hmm. so she'll be telling her story. Of course, we have Reverend Childress. He's a mainstay, and he's just always fired up and always got something different to say, and it's he never disappoints. He's mm-hmm. The founder of Black Genocide and one of the few, unfortunately, so many African-American pastors shy away from the abortion issue when their people are targeted. Mm-hmm. So, they're people, that sounds awful, but they say, I mean, that's how he would say
their
our
community,
people.
Yeah.
The African-American community is so targeted by the abortion industry that the disproportionate amount of abortions performed on African-American women versus their, their percentage in the population is really egregious and does constitute genocide. So he's very committed to that. He and his wife, Regina, always come. We love her and we love him. And so it's very, he stepped up without knowing who we were. And, we were like, wow, that first year, we're like, this is awesome. We don't have Catholics that do that.
Hey, you got to start. You just go with it. The Lord provides.
That's right. So anyway, so he's wonderful. And then a little bit differently, we have Elaine Riddick, who speaks about, who was sterilized by the North Carolina Eugenics, State Eugenics Board of North Carolina, after she was raped when she was 13 years old, and she was deemed feeble-minded and unfit, and so they sterilized her after the birth of her son. So she and her son will both be here, but she's that's her story will be. I don't want to jump the gun on it, mm-hmm. but will be very amazing, and that aspect of it too, that this is a part of the life issue too, mm-hmm. and that what's happening, just kind of we're filling in a lot of the subject matter of abortion, of the reaches of abortion, of of contraception, but just the whole mentality, mm-hmm. And then Lacey Buchanan, who's never spoken in public. She's from Tennessee, and I don't know if you or any of your listeners saw her little YouTube video about her little boy Christian. Mm. And it was just, it's so sweet. He's got, he has some special needs that she was told that she should have aborted him. And she talks about, why would I do that? And so she goes through this whole, she holds up little signs, and it's so cute. So we said, hey, we don't want you to do the sign thing. Would you speak at the Walk for Life? And so she's coming with her husband and her little boy and Christian, who has, he's got his face has, it's his eyes are, it seems to be the most obvious, disability. Mm-hmm. And she's like, he's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And, it's the incredible love of a mother for her child. And we're so inspired by it. And we want people, because want people to realize that it, the child, there's no mistakes with God.
Yes.
That the child conceived in the womb comes to be, and it's God's plan for us. Mm-hmm. And abortion is never a solution to a child that maybe isn't perfect, and especially now with all the genomics projects, and there's such a search and destroy on the genetic level in pregnancies that we are really excited to have kind of this aspect of the pro-life movement brought to light and personified in Lacey and her son Christian. So.
Dolores Meehan with us, co-founder for Walk for Life West Coast. Again, San Francisco, we're going to be carrying the broadcast thanks to EWTN and your work with social media. It's so great that we can carry both nationally, the Washington, D.C. March for Life full day on Friday, and then we'll head to San Francisco on Saturday. So that's pretty exciting for our local listeners to kind of listen and to pray with you and to hear these powerful speeches. When did you hear, Dolores, that the Papal Nuncio would be coming to join in on your 9th annual event?
Well, that was right. Actually, I had a house full of kids. We were decorating a Christmas tree, and I said, "Somebody answer the phone." And so it was the Archbishop Corleone called, and he goes, "Hello," and I said, "I go, who's calling? Who's calling?" And he goes, "It's your Archbishop." And I said, "Oh," so he, I go, "Oh, hey," you know, but he said, so he was really excited. And he said, "Remember I told you I might have a surprise for you?" And I said, "Yes." And he goes, "Well, I do." And I said, "Okay." And he said, he goes, "Guess who's coming to the Walk for Life?" And I go, "Cardinal Burke." And he goes, "That's a really good first guess. I would have thought that too, but no, guess again." Anyway, so he goes, "The Papal Nuncio." So we're just so excited. And he's so excited, and he said he really wanted to come. Like, he asked about it. And so, you know, so it's just a great, it's so exciting to have that kind of, it's the Holy Father's representative. So he will be bringing a message from the Holy Father, and we're really, it's great to be Catholic. It's great to have that universal, you know, being literally on the same page of the Missal,
yes,
with every other Catholic in the world,
yes,
each day. And so, yeah, that was really fun. And then I said to the Archbishop, I said, "Well, I go, do you want me to call Eva and let her know?" I said, "Or do you want to tell her?" He goes, "Oh, no, I want to call her. Do you think she's up right now?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, okay, bye." He was just so excited, you know, and it's just, you know, it's a real, I think he has a very nice relationship with the nuncio. And so that's, you know, of course makes it, but you know, of course, and we have a lot of our new California bishops will be coming.
Yeah.
So it's exciting. We've had a lot of young, Episcopal life infused into California, which, you know, it happens regularly in the church, and so really excited about that.
Yeah, it's powerful, very powerful. We think about big activities within our own family, a wedding, a funeral, the birth of a new child in the family, birthdays, anniversaries. These are all things that kind of bring families together. And now, number one, we're commemorating or memorializing the lives of, as you mentioned, over 55 million children killed to abortion, their mothers, their fathers, their family. The whole culture suffers because of the loss of that huge amount of life. So we come for that remembrance, but we come to say we're bringing about a culture of life. And so let's come together in celebration of this family that we want to bring about another generation. Share a little bit, as I was talking with some of the Oregon Right to Life community and National Right to Life, they've been mentioning how much, and you represent it, Dolores, the young generation, the 20s, the 30s, even some of us are in our 40s, that were involved in these life issues. The faces that you see when you look at a Walk for Life West Coast, that it represents this young generation, this youthful generation, which is not on the opposition.
Oh, no, it sure isn't. I mean, that's you hit it. And that's, I think, what impresses sort of drop. You know, if you're dropped by a spaceship, they're like, "Oh my gosh, why are these young people here?" And that is the most. But we, as much as, you know, we are just so excited by the young energy and the enthusiasm, and they are. They're so rambunctious and just, you know, and it's very sad when you pass a group of counter demonstrators that are, you know, a little bit, you know, are not in that generation. Mm-hmm. They are, you know, they're older. They're an aging, you know, kind of aging out, and you see them, you know, I mean, some of them, you know, there are a couple of young people, but there's just no way. They have to look at it. And at the March for Life, they have to look at just these thousands and thousands of young people and say, you know what, we're not long for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this really isn't. People say, oh, come on, it's never going to be overturned. And I go, you wait.
Mm-hmm.
I go, you wait. I said, we can't survive with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the other, as much as that is so fun and so inspiring, nothing inspires me more than the older generation.
Mm-hmm.
And many have, in San Francisco and the pro-life movement, have gone on, you know, have died this year. And they that held on that against so many odds, and
yes,
without all of the excitement and the enthusiasm and the joyful participation and support that we enjoy, they continued on and persevered in the pro-life movement and in keeping it alive. And so for that generation, they're the ones that I really, that's still the most moving to me. When I see somebody just almost crippled with age walking and making their way along with everybody else. And I think, you know, that's right. We're supposed to die with our boots on.
Mm-hmm.
And how faithful and how wonderful when you're not, you know, when it doesn't feel good to get out there, when it is hard on your body. But
yes.
So I see, you know, our older generation and the heroes of the pro-life
mm-hmm.
movement.
Yeah.
And they're, I'm so grateful to them, and we are so blessed. They have given us something that is really immeasurable.
Yeah, yeah, so true. You mentioned, and we just have a couple more minutes, Dolores, the speakers. That's going to be a key part of the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to begin with Mass in the morning at St. Mary's Cathedral. Share a little bit about just kind of the whole day, that's what it's going to encompass, because I think
it's
going to close with your walk, but kind of carry us through what you're planning for the whole day on Saturday.
Sure. So for, you know, people who are local, it's, you know, we have some of the ancillary events, one being the Mass, 9:30 a.m. Mass at St. Mary's Cathedral that will be celebrated, the Archbishop and the Papal Nuncio and his 10 or 14 brother bishops.
Awesome.
And then the Silent No More Awareness campaign starts at 10:45 down at Civic Center Plaza, it's just to the right of the main stage. Then at 12:30, and then that time too, we have the info fair, which is we have a record number of people who will be giving out information. So that's for all the different resources in the life issues and pregnancy centers and Physicians for Life. All the different groups, and so we really encourage people to stop by there and get that information. And that's kind of. That's what we're doing, right? We're a one-day event, but we want to decimate that information. And so, and then at 12:30, the main event begins on stage, and that's the rally part. And we end promptly at 1:30 and begin our walk down Market Street and to Justin Herman Plaza. And then when we get to Justin Herman Plaza, there'll be a mariachi band, and there's a park, Sue Bierman Park, that people can, you know, hang out at. It's a little different. It's not as nice as having the Marina Greens, but we just outgrew that. We outgrew that venue. And so this is how it has to be. But, and then we'll have, you know, just people, we just, you know, want people to kind of have that time to enjoy each other and hang out, and then mm-hmm. other people move on their way. And the last, they usually have the last bus out of Lot A at about 5 p.m.
Okay, full day in San Francisco. You mentioned the first year, 2005, was a little over 7,000 people. How are the numbers, how have they grown over the last 9 years?
Well, they've grown to about, I mean, some people say 50,000. We tend to be a little conservative, so we keep it down to about 40,000, maybe 45,000.
Awesome.
So it's either way, it's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
mm-hmm.
sort of, I thought 7,000 was impressive, but now also being in front of City Hall, we really fill that plaza. And so that was our first year last year. This will be our second year in front of City Hall. It's the Center Plaza. So
yeah,
it's
tremendous.
It's great. Yeah, no, the numbers are growing, but like we said, You know, there were only three people. There were only three supporters at the crucifixion, and it was one heck of a kickoff event.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it just takes each of us, Dolores. I think that's a great note for us to kind of close by, is that each and every one of the people listening today can make an impact in the culture of life, whether you're raising kids and homeschooling, whether you're busy operating a business, a college student, working full-time as well, retired, trying to take care of the grandkids. Every generation has a responsibility and has skills that can contribute to the culture of life. What would be your encouragement for each of us, how we can use what we've been given to make an impact?
I think you can look at what you can do. Look around you. See what's easiest. Go for the low-hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all great to say, well, I'm going to do this and this and this, but if it's really too much to do, I mean, there's simple things you can give your seat up on an airplane to somebody so they can sit with their kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's you can be a witness to life and so many things. And then, of course, just getting involved for teenagers, help babysit for someone that's got a lot of kids, really supporting family life, and then reaching out and looking in the Yellow Pages, where are your pregnancy resource centers, and see what you can do. I think that's the biggest. Coming out praying for 40 Days for Life, such a powerful campaign, mm-hmm. and has resulted in so many lives saved. So I think there's the possibilities are endless, but I would say go for what's most reasonable, that's easiest, and start with the easiest and then proceed to a little more difficult.
Yeah.
Just like we do in prayer.
Amen. Amen to that. Well, a big blessing to you, to Eva, to the whole crew that is working behind the scenes on the website, interacting on the phone, and all the other social media that you've got. I'm going to encourage people to get on the Walk for Life West Coast website. Again, it's walkforlifewc.com, and click on everything that you can click on. Send stuff out on your Facebook and all of those things to get the word out. And again, we want to cover you in prayer, and just really grateful, Dolores, for your yes. So keep going. Keep the energy level high.
Thank you so much, and thanks to all your listeners.
God bless you. Take Dolores. Care. Stay well. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Again, Dolores, along with Eva, working on this amazing event, and now it's in its ninth year, the Walk for Life West Coast in San Francisco. Those of you who are going, I know Father Eric Anderson, who comes and has a show with me every month on the program, he's already heading very close to San Francisco. He'll be there again, and he traveled first off as a seminarian and now as a priest within the Archdiocese of Portland. So I know there's a lot of church communities that'll be traveling down, either on the road or who may be flying down to California. So we just pray for their safety. And if you're, you know, on the road with them, keep your radio on Catholic radio as much as you can traveling south. And we just wish them the best. And again, a great effort to bring people together for the life issues. We'll hear from Dolores and Eva and the whole broadcast of the Walk for Life West Coast here, thanks to our connection with EWTN. That'll be in the 11 o'clock hour on Saturday. So we'll be preempting a lot of our Saturday programming so we can bring you live coverage from San Francisco and the Walk for Life. And that is really exciting. As we come to a close today, I'll remember this from the prophet Isaiah, who says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." Up close and personal, that is the way of God. And may God's peace continue to cover you and your family and the whole world. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Stay with us here on Catholic Broadcasting Northwest as we continue to share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.